I love the book of Joshua. I do. Joshua is a book that God used to show us how we can be more and more like Him, like Joshua was, if we would only prepare ourselves. All right, Joshua, starting verse 1, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Wow, isn't that good? Isn't that good? He'll never fail us or forsake us. Wow. "Be strong and of good courage, for unto the people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate there day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for your love. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct in this message, that we might get something out of it that we can use in our own lives. And we'll give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be of good courage. As I was thinking about the 4th of July and the weekend and that, I came up with this message. And I thought to myself, well, you know, people had to be courageous in times of old. You know, you look at the time during the French-American War. You look at the time of the different wars that we had. We had to have very courageous men and women who lived in the country at that time. In the scripture we just read, we see Moses is now dead. Moses had led the children of Israel for the past 40 years, and now he's no longer on the scene. God has taken him home. Now there's going to be a new leader, Joshua. He is one that God handpicked to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb, as we recall, were the only two that were left that came out of Egypt. Out of the 2 million or 3 million people that came out of Egypt, when they came out of Egypt, Caleb and Joshua were the only two that were left. Think about that for a minute. For 40 years, they went with Moses through the wilderness. For 40 years, they ate manna every morning. For 40 years, they ate quail for meat. For 40 years, they had to depend on Moses to be able to find them water and sustain life for them. Now, Moses is gone, and the only ones that are left is just Caleb and Joshua. They're the only ones left that came out of Egypt. Remember them? They were the ones that gave the good report when they came out of Kadesh Barnea. You know, they're the only two spies out of the 12 that came out of there that gave the good report. That's why we sing, 12 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. You know, Joshua and Caleb were the 2 good spies. You know, God has given Joshua right now an awesome responsibility to lead the children of Israel into a land which is going to flow with milk and honey. Have you ever thought about that? A land that flowed with milk and honey? Why did God use those terms? Anybody know? I'll tell you why. Because the land flowed with milk and honey. They say that in the time of Joshua, and Joshua went into the promised land, there were so many bees in the land that the honey would run out of the rocks almost like a river. There was that much honey in the land. And the milk that it was talking about was the prosperity of the land. God gave Joshua a command to be strong and of good courage and to be very courageous in what that he was going to do. In fact, 4 times in the first 18 verses, God tells him this. You know, if God tells us something once, we should listen to it. If he tells us it twice, we ought to take it to heart. But if he tells us 4 times, we better listen very carefully. But what did Joshua need to be strong and courageous about? You know, I feel God knew Joshua's heart. I feel like God knew Joshua's weaknesses. I feel that he also knew that the leading of the children of Israel into the promised land was not going to be a good task or an easy task. I feel God knew the heart of Joshua and how that he would react to different situations. I feel that God knew that when certain things came up, Joshua would become discouraged. You know, discouragement is one of the greatest problems that we have in our lives, whether it's a physical discouragement or a spiritual one. You know, I want to look for just a little bit tonight at what is going to bring discouragement into the life of Joshua and how the same discouragement can cause us to want to quit what we're doing. We don't want to do it anymore. You know, the first thing I see is this. We're going to be in the book of Joshua, by the way, tonight, so keep your Bibles open to that. Joshua became discouraged by the disobedience of others. In Joshua chapter 6, verses 17 through 19, it says, "And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all of that are therein, to the Lord only. Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourself from the accursed thing." Yes, ye make yourself accursed. "When you take of the accursed thing, and make a camp of Israel cursed, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels and brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." The people were commanded that they were not to what? Take anything out of the city of Jericho. Jericho was the first city that they were going to conquer. Jericho was the first city with very high walls all the way around it. Jericho was a fortress. And yet God was going to deliver that into the hands of Joshua. However, he gave the people a command. He says, don't take a thing. The people knew what was the right thing to do. They knew that they were not to take anything out of the city because it would be sin or disobedience towards God. God had commanded what they were to do and what they were not to do. They should know right from wrong, right? They're adults. After all, adults should know right from wrong. Amen? Joshua, or in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, Joshua chapter 7 and verse 1, it says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Cammai, the son of Zaddai, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. When the children of Israel went to war against the next city, Ai, there was 36 men who were lost. 36 men lost their lives. When they went against Jericho, a much larger city, not one Israelite, not one, died. There's nowhere recorded of anyone losing any life on the side of Israel when they went against Jericho. But when they went against Ai, there were 36 men of war that were lost for the disobedience of one person. Achan had seen some gold and some silver, some clothes he wanted, and he took them, even though he knew that he shouldn't have them, even though that he knew that it was sin and he was disobeying what God had said. He could not help himself from doing it. You know, as I was writing this, I was also thinking of someone else. The same thing happened. Her name was Eve. Right? She saw something she shouldn't have seen. She thought, you know what? That would be good in my belly. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. And then Satan said what? It's going to make you like a God. You'll have the same mentality, the same as what God does. Pride of life. Achan, it was the same way. Achan saw something that he probably shouldn't have seen. He saw gold. He saw silver. He saw raiment. He goes, wow, if I can take that stuff, when we get into the promised land, we get settled, guess what? I'm going to be able to buy anything I want. I'm going to be a great man. You know people like that? I do. Even today. They're not satisfied with what God has given. They want more. 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 The people knew what the right thing was to do. They knew that they were not to take anything out of the city because it would be disobedience toward God. God had commanded it. What they were to do and what they were not to do. They should have done the right thing. But you know what? One person, just one person, blew it all, didn't he? Just one person. This brought discouragement into the life of Joshua. Joshua wasn't the one that sinned. He's not the one that took this stuff, right? But yet it brought discouragement in his life. Look at verses 6 and 7 of chapter 7. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. And he and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. You know, it wasn't Joshua who sinned, was it? But yet here he is. He's down on his knees. He ripped his clothes. He put dust upon his head. And he's pouring out his heart before God and said, oh God, what did you do? Bringing us over here. We should have stayed over on the other side where we were safe. But you brought us over on this side and look what happened. 36 men died. Wow. You talk about discouragement, that's discouragement. When you go to God and you start complaining to God about what's happening and things like that, that is discouragement. You know, it's no different in our lives. Someone else will sin or disobey God. And all of a sudden, it brings discouragement into our lives. Larry, you mind if I use you for an example? Huh? Larry, let's see, what was it, 5 years ago, 6 years ago? Larry was here in the church about 6 years ago. And he was faithful. He worked in the food bank. He worked in the different things. He was here at every service. All of a sudden, he didn't come to church anymore. He didn't come to the food bank. I got worried about him. Next thing I heard is that he was in prison. And you know what? It discouraged me. It discouraged me. It really did. Because I'd poured time into him. I'd poured my soul into him. I had tried to help him the right way. And yet, it wasn't that he let me down. It was that he did something that he shouldn't have done. And it brought discouragement to me, being the pastor of the church. You know, when people sin and they don't do what they're supposed to do, you have no idea the discouragement that the pastor has. You know, I as a pastor can stand up here and I can preach sin and I can preach how we need to take and read God's Word and how we need to stay in God's Word. And then all of a sudden, something happens and it brings discouragement into my heart because I think, what was the use of doing all that? Why was it I stood up here and beat my head on the pulpit and yelled and screamed and hollered and nobody was listening anyway? You know, I believe that Joshua was much the same way. You know, we can become discouraged and we may want to quit because of what others do. Look at chapter 8 and verse 1 of Joshua. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise and go to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. Joshua had to have God give him the encouragement that he needed once again, because he became discouraged. You know, we get to a point of discouragement by disobedience of people, by disobedience of ourselves. And we can't encourage ourselves enough to get out of that discouragement. The only way we can is to go to the Lord. The only way we can is get down on our knees and say, Lord, I'm discouraged. This is going on. Why is this going on? What can I do? And you know, he usually shows us. He usually encourages us. You know, the next thing that Joshua ran into was discontented people. He became discouraged with discontented people. How many of you have ever known discontented people in your life? Anybody? Joshua 17. Joshua 17, starting in verse 14, it says, and the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am such a great people? For as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto. And Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants. If Mount Ephraim is too narrow for thee? And the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshittim and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoing of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. Here we see the children of Joseph, discontent with what God had given them for land. They wanted more. They wanted more land than what had been given them. They didn't want just one lot. They wanted more land. They wanted more and were not satisfied with what God had planned for their lives. Joshua became discouraged because of the discontentment of the people. It was Joshua's job to divide this land up. How would you like to do that? You've got 12 tribes, and you got to split it up between the 12 of them, and you're going, well, actually 11, because Levites didn't get any, but you had to get cities for them. And you're going, okay, this is yours. You got a map in front of you. You know, I don't think they had Google Earth back then, did they? Huh? You know, and he had a map of the land. He goes, okay, this is yours, this is yours, this is yours, this is yours, this is yours. And they went out and they looked at the land. They go, well, that ain't enough land for us. We're a great nation. You know, Joshua was discouraged because of the discontentment of the people. He did the best job that he could to separate the land fairly. However, there were those who were discontent with the way it was done and brought discouragement in the life of Joshua. You know, we can do everything that we feel that God wants us to do. And believe it or not, there will be those who are discontent with the decisions that are made. Did you know that? Brother Echo, did you ever have that happen when you're in the ministry? People get discontent with what you did? You know, it brings discouragement. It does. You know, even though we're preachers, even though, you know, we have to rely on God to take and lead us, guess what? We get discouraged because of the discontentment of the people. Not only that, but Joshua got discouraged because of disgruntled people. How many of you ever have seen a disgruntled person? Not me. I have no idea what disgruntled is. Amen. Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in serenity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Joshua was coming to the end of his life. The land had been split up, and the people were at rest. There was no more war. They were content with what they had been given. And then here comes the disgruntled people. They want a different religion. They want to do things a different way. You know, there were those who felt they needed a new and improved religion. A religion of idols. Something they can look at, something they could pray to, something they could touch and feel, something they could take a feather duster and dust the dust off. They wanted something to pray to. There were those who felt they needed to be just like everybody else that lived in the land. After all, they did not want to be different. They wanted to fit in. You know, oh, how come we got to be different? I hear that all the time at school. Why do I have to wear a uniform? I don't like to wear a uniform. Shut up and wear your uniform. Suck it up. Right? Why do I have to have my hair cut? Because I said so. Okay. You know, I mean, that's the way it is. It is. You know, I mean, you talk about disgruntled. You should be in the school, man. I mean, oh, unbelievable. Joshua became discouraged, though, because he knew what the people were thinking. Joshua 24 and verse 15. It says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, or those or whose land ye dwell." Joshua, you can tell just by the way he was wording that, he was discouraged to think after all the Lord had done for the people, they could be disgruntled with how they were to serve God. Joshua knew the hearts of the people. He knew they wanted to serve other gods and that they would wanted something they could see and touch, smell. After all, what happened in the wilderness? They made a golden calf. Joshua was discouraged at the very thought of the people wanting to serve these other gods. You know, Joshua had to be of good courage and do what was right, even though he might not have been the popular thing. After all, what does he say? "But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. But hey, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Joshua knew what was the right thing, even though the people became disgruntled. He knew that he and his house were going to do the right thing, no matter what anybody else was going to do. They could go down as far as they wanted to in sin, but he wasn't going to. Joshua was not going to let a bunch of disgruntled, backslidden people dictate to him a new and improved way of worshiping other than what God had commanded him to do. Disgruntled people will always bring discouragement to those who are doing what's right in the eyes of God. They feel there has to be a better way, a better song service, a better way of worship service, a better book to use instead of the old King James Bible. Well, let's take and not use the Bible anymore. Let's use man's books instead. Amen. And you know, that's what I feel is happening today in the churches. Not only other religions, but in the independent Baptist churches. There's too many young preachers who are using man's book instead of God's book. There's too many that are using man's philosophy instead of God's word to prepare their messages, to preach their sermons, to take and try to show people how they need to take and rule their lives. And you know why I know that's true? By what I see on the internet, by what these young preachers are putting on the internet. I happened to see one the other day, and I know the young guy very well, and he's been preacher now for about, I don't know, 8 years. Graduated about 8 years ago. He's got a church in California. And he put something on the internet the other day, and I looked at that and I go, "What?" So I emailed him personally. And I said to him, I said, "Where did you get that from?" He emailed me back. He said, "Well, didn't you read so-and-so's book?" And I emailed him back and I said, "I don't know who you're talking about," but I said, "The only book I read is God's book." And I said, "I think maybe you better get in it." I couldn't believe it. You know, people ask me, well, they say, "How many books do you read a week?" I'll go to these meetings and stuff with these other preachers and that, and they go, "How many books do you read a week?" I go, one. You read one book a week? I said, yeah. I read the Bible. That's it. That's it. That's all I read is the Bible. They go, you mean you don't take and read so-and-so or so-such-and-such? I go, no. Why not? I said, I don't want his philosophy. I said, I want God's philosophy. They say, you mean to tell me you don't use all kinds of commentaries and everything? I said, no, I don't. How many of you ever heard of a guy by the name of Oliver B. Green? I have every book that he ever wrote. Every book. Every book that he ever wrote, I have a copy of it in my library at home. Do you know how many of his books I've read? Do you know how many of his books I use for my messages? They go, you mean you have all those books? I said, yeah. How many of you have ever heard of a guy by the name of Jack Hiles? I have probably 25 of his books in my library. People say, man, you got a lot of books, a lot of good books. Have you read them all? No. How many have you read? None. You mean to tell me you've got all these books in you? Yeah, I've never read them. Never read them. I have no need. Listen, I got the answers right here. You know, I love the old-time commentaries. I like, although I did read one book. I have to back up here a little bit. I did read one book, and that was the biography of Billy Sunday. And the reason I read the book was this. My wife got the book at an auction, or at a garage sale, and she bought it for 25 cents. And this book was one of the first editions of his biography. Inside it was a newspaper article, and the title of the article was The End of the Sawdust Trail. That's what Billy Sunday was known for, was the Sawdust Trail. And I read through that whole book because I wanted to know what these old-time writers said about Billy Sunday. And it was a good book. It still is a good book. But you know, there's always going to be discouragement, and we need to be ready to be of good courage and say, just as Joshua did, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, discouragement's going to come in many forms. It's going to take many shapes. And we need to all remember, just as Joshua, that we need to be of good courage and to continue to serve the Lord. Hebrews 11:5 says this, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with what such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Wow. Be of good courage. Be of very good courage. And you will come out in the end the victor. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for all that you've done for us. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct us as we go our various ways. Thank you for this message tonight. I just pray that you'll help us to be courageous, help us to do the things that we need to do. We love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us today. I just pray now that you'll be with us through this week as we have our picnic on Wednesday and as we get other things done. And we give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's turn in our hymnals. I'm going to change that one if you don't mind.